Today's episode is brought to you by 5-4 Club. Oh yeah, baby. You've heard of them. I know you have. You know why? Because they dress people like Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, Zac Efron, Aziz Ansari, Don Cheadle, and Adam Ray. Yeah, well, let me tell you how I got to learn about 5-4 Club. I'm a dude who doesn't have time to shop, okay? I don't really like to shop. And what I do like are people who know clothes, who know style, and want to help people like me out, okay? When you sign up to be a member of 5-4 Club for $60 a month, only $60 a month, here's what you get, okay? You get proven style, recommendations, and advice from top stylists who just want to make you look good and educate you on how to wear certain pieces. They're not trying to make your wardrobe for you. They just want to help educate you on how to create your vibe, your style. It's an easy sign-up process, all right? You go in, you personalize your style preferences, create a profile, and whether you're looking for clothes for the office, the club, just a chill weekend or whatever, 5-4 has you covered. There are four style profiles, okay? Classic, casual, forward, and mix. You create these, and the guys put together a box of dope clothes for you and send it to your place, to your doorstep, direct delivery, free shipping. Free shipping. So few businesses do that, all right? Go to 5-4 Club right now. Sign up. Become a member. It's only $60 a month, okay? The only way to get this brand is to be a member, all right? You can't find 5-4 Club anywhere else, so you got to sign up, baby. Do you want to stand out in the crowd and not blend in like everyone else? Do you want to wear the clothes that Don Cheadle and Blake Griffin wear? Do you want to start getting compliments from girls you didn't think were even looking at you? I'm telling you, Brad even wears this shit, all right? They've got his size. They've got little Brad's size. I can't stress how dope this company is. I wear their shit. It's dependable. It's reliable. They throw you how-to-wear style suggestions, curated collections, selected by personal stylists. You're not a stylist, man. Get some help from dudes that know what they're talking about. Free size exchanges, free delivery, and easy style profile edits. Great styles that are on point and on season. You want shorts and a button-up? Cool. They got them. You want jackets and jeans when it gets colder? They got them. Go to 54club.com right now. Use promo code ALN to get a nice little discount off your first package, all right? Also, if you sign up for 54 Club this month, they've teamed up with Robert Geller. You know who Robert Geller is? Yeah, maybe named Best Men's Wear Designer in 2009. He's collaborated with Levi's, Common Projects, Yeezy Season 1. Robert Geller is thrown in a pair of his $200 shades for free when you sign up this month to be a member in 5-4 Club. All right? So go to 54club.com, use promo code ALN, and start looking better, baby. And now enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Hey, everybody, it's Adam Ray and Brad Williams for the About Last Night podcast.
And Brad Williams, that means I'm here.
So eager. Couldn't even let me finish my fucking sentence.
Well, I'm very anxious. I don't do a lot of intros. My career is going very well. that's my excuse.
You've been on the road a lot.
I have been.
And with what material?
new material. New.
There is material. People of Brad William fan base.
There. I'm trying, man. I recorded the special, so now I'm just trying to throw as much shit up against the fan as I can, and just do a bunch of new stuff. You know what? I'm not even doing dwarf jokes anymore. I'm doing all black jokes. I'm writing from the perspective of a black man. It's
about time.
Yeah. It's like the intro to the movie The Jerk, where Steve Martin just goes, funny. "I was born a poor black child." I'm just going with that perspective now and seeing if I can get some material out of that.
Speaking of special, you got an air date. Can we talk about that?
Yes, we can.
Showtime. May 20th. Do I have a better memory than you? And it's your special? Are you looking it up?
Yes. I just want to make sure.
How dare you?
But yeah.
Boy. And May the winner 20th. For best friend goes to...
Adam Ray. I don't know why I brought him back from the dead, but sure. Too soon. Yes, May 20th is going to be the air date of my new Showtime special, Brad Williams' Daddy Issues. That's going to be the air date at, I believe, 10 p.m., so set your DVRs.
Well, I think there's only one dwarf comedy special on May 20th, so I don't think the title really...
Oh, I wouldn't put it past Dinklage. You know he could get a solid hour together.
Can you imagine if he just put one together and goes, oh, really? Brad Williams on the 20th, huh? What time? 10? And he $1 you Price is Right style and goes, God. Mine's on at 8:30.
Oh, I would get some brass knucks and have a go fight him. He's already doing Saturday Night Live before me. So, you know, he might
You're
just
fine.
He might just get the comedy bug and be yeah. like, you know what? This seems pretty easy. Oh, stay on my turf, Dinklage.
Speaking of Dinklage. Shitty transition. But our show today is a good one. A guy we've been trying to get on for a while.
Yeah.
Who has some of the best road stories of any comic. His journey into stand-up, too, coming from a world of construction and writing, like just kind of fell into it.
Right.
You've seen him on Chelsea Lately. He wrote for the VMAs. I think the AVN Awards.
Yeah,
we talked
yes.
a lot about porn, and I think it was that he wrote for...
Yeah, I think there was... We found out that we were Eskimo brothers.
Oh, my God. We're talking about Chris Frangiola. you've probably seen him live. He's on the road all the time, and just one of the funniest dudes.
Yeah. His,
I mean, to hear somebody who just kind of fell into stand-up, but to be that funny is...
And then just to be such a fan of it, like, right off the bat, like, where he gets in and goes, oh, wow, this is great.
Yeah.
Let's do more of this.
Yeah.
Just a really fun conversation. And like we always kind of do on these podcasts, I never really sat down with him
yeah.
and had a conversation. And now that we did, I can't wait to do it again.
Yeah. I mean, I've had maybe four or five interactions with him. And one of them was when he was geeked out on ecstasy in New Orleans when we were down there shooting Adam Devine's house party, which we talk about. And it's so great that he was... that he remembered, first of all.
Which is, that's amazing in itself.
And he helped me get on Chelsea Lately, which was great. Mm-hmm. But it's just, if you just want an episode that is fun to listen to from top to bottom with a lot of laughs and a great storyteller, Chris Frangiola is the man. He's on the road all the time, so go see him live, chrisfrangiola.com for all his tour dates, at Chris Frangiola on Twitter. I'm on Twitter at Adam Ray Comp. At Adam Ray Comedy. Brad is on Twitter at Funny Brad. And Brad, May 20th, Showtime, Daddy Issues.
That's right.
But also, before that comes out, you're going to be on the road.
I'm going to be on the road. And see, this comes out on a Thursday. So that means tomorrow, March 25th, when I'm at the Comedy Connection in East Providence, Rhode Island, doing two shows there. And then March 26th, Boston, Wilbur Theater. A few tickets left for that, so come on out. Wilbur Theater, big room, lots of fun. Beantown coming to you on March 26th. Then March 31st through April 2nd, I am at the Comedy Factory in Baltimore, Maryland. And then Chicago, I'm making my debut April 3rd. It's a Sunday. We're doing two shows. Zany's Comedy Club on North Wells Street. So yeah, come out to that one. Two shows on a Sunday. That's right, Chicago. I'm coming. Let's do this thing.
Bring Brad a hot dog.
Sure. I like wow. Chicago dogs.
Could your voice have gone any higher right there?
Because everyone knows the 12th love hot dogs.
So yeah, come see me those dates. And for all dates, I'm booked pretty much the rest of the year. Go to bradwilliamscomedy.com.
I will be tonight in Inglewood, Colorado at the Gothic Theater with Michael Ian Black. It's part of the Leafly-sponsored comedy series. Leafly, of course, they're a pot company. And that is great. I'm going to the place where it's legal, and I will be high at some point. Not during the show, because
sure.
I just can't do that anymore.
Don't worry, fans. I will be checking with Adam, making sure he's not fighting a dragon.
Gothic Theater tonight at 8 p.m., Inglewood, Colorado. Me, Michael Ian Black. Come see us. March 30th. I'll be here at the Hollywood Improv doing Comedy Juice, 10 p.m., L.A. And then April 1st and April 2nd, I'll be at the La Jolla Comedy Store in San Diego headlining two nights, four shows, 7:30 and 9:45, April 1st, April 2nd, La Jolla, California, San Diego at the Comedy Store. And then April 8th through the 10th in West Palm Beach at the West Palm Beach Improv, April 8th through the 10th. First time there.
Yeah, it's a fun club.
Fun club. Brad told me to do it.
Yes. And so
our friendship hangs in the balance.
So, yeah, so now if you don't come out to see Adam Ray at the West Palm Beach Improv, there might be no podcast after that because he will blame me for everything, and you don't want that on your
shoulders. You don't want that. Don't do that to yourself. Don't do that to us.
Yeah.
But it's West Palm Beach Improv, April 8th through the 10th. Tickets at improv.com. All my tour dates, which are a bunch more, at adamraytv.com. Of course, follow the podcast at ALN Podcast on Twitter, at ALN Podcast on Instagram. I'm at AdamRay33 on Instagram. Brad's Brad Williams Comic on Instagram. And, of course, all the merch, estoymerchandise.com,
yep.
estoymerchandise.com for your posters, your hats, your shirts, your mugs. Have you gotten a poster?
Yes, I got a poster for my birthday. You framed one.
How great is that?
And gave it to me. So I go to bed with you staring at me every night, which is kind of creepy.
And you have a poster.
Yeah. Get it? See what we did there? That's called comedy, people.
Get your merch. Bring it to the shows. Brad and I both love it when you guys bring your shirts and your hats, and we sign them for you. All that's at astoymerchandise.com, ESTOYmerchandise.com. There's been a little bit of a hiccup. They had some warehouse changes, so I know some of you guys had some issues with your merch, but that is all fixed now.
It's coming.
No problems, and those of you that had problems are getting bonus gifts, so be on the lookout for that. All the merch is storymerchandise.com. And, of course, tune in Tuesday nights, 10 p.m., Separation Anxiety, my TBS show, me, Eliza Schlesinger, TBS, Tuesdays, 10. Brad, you've seen it?
I have, and it's a fun show. It's an enjoyable show. You get to laugh at couples and put yourself in their situation and see what you would do. I know what I would do in that situation. I would stare at Adam Ray's hair.
Ooh, it does look good. Some hair days are better than others, but that's because I was a little more active in some episodes. But it's TBS's highest-rated new show.
What?
Come on. So hopefully it does 45 seasons, and I and the next time in 5 years you talk to me via Skype on my island that I named
right
Daddy Issues. Just to slam it to Brad for him not remembering that I knew the date.
And hopefully your wife of 5 years, Katy Perry, answers the phone.
Oh, my God. Put it out there. I'm not a spiritual manifester, but if that's what I need to do to get Perry.
Yes. Yes, he reached the household of Katy Perry Ray.
All right. Well, I don't know about that. She might have to just take her own name.
or maybe I'll call you and you're like, yes, my name is Adam Perry.
Adam Ray Perry.
All right.
Hey, it's my fucking wife. You don't get to decide.
If you want to show that much dedication, then sure. You know.
You think my ring bearer is going to also decide who takes what name? Yes, you are my ring bearer.
Oh, and I'm going to come down with a funky duck.
Oh, my God. Now I really want to get married.
All right. So come to one of Adam Ray's shows. He is desperate right now.
Now that we got the wife info out of the way, those are the tour dates. Those are the Twitter handles. That's all the merch info. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast.
Mr. Chris Frangiola.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. No podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
It was like, really, do you really need that?
Piss you off? Does that make you hate the Oscars?
It does make me hate the Oscars. Yes.
But I guess you never really loved the Oscars.
Everyone's talking about
Brad likes and loves.
Yeah.
The white out of
them. Yeah, everyone's talking about, there's so many white people. Yeah. I'm like, well, where are the dwarves?
Exactly. Huh? Right. Yeah, where's that?
Well,
yeah,
I mean, all right.
Has anyone been nominated ever?
That's a great question. The guy who played Willow, what's his name again?
Warwick Davis. He was never nominated, for best use of a wand.
No, he was never.
No, he was never nominated. Best Ewok? No.
No.
Nothing.
Never. Even like the Under the Rainbow and those movies back in like the 70s or something?
I mean, well, it's like if they did get nominated, because I know like the Station Agent, which had Peter Dinklage in it, the movie got nominated, but not Dinklage. No. And that's the only time I'm going to support you, Dinklage. Cherish that.
Yeah, fuck that guy, right?
Yeah, fuck that guy. Uh-huh. Screw Dinklage, man.
Yeah, what parts? What part of town do you live in?
Studio City.
Nice.
Yeah.
You know what? That's a solid area because it's just close enough to Hollywood.
That's what I say.
But it's
plenty of parking.
Plenty.
No parking issues.
It's all right. That's two parking comments you've made since you've been here. It is shitty.
Like, a guy who's lived here as long as I have, parking is a thing that either makes or breaks like friendships and relationships.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Like, yeah, I won't.
There's someone's house that you can't park at, you're like, ugh.
I won't go there.
Do you need me there?
Right.
Fahim Anwar, the comedian Fahim, we all know Fahim, he has a great joke about texting with the girl and about if he's going to hook up with her, and the first thing he asked after she's like, come over, is there parking?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Like,
do you live in Culver City? Then it's not happening.
No.
Yeah.
Right. Then no way. Hell, that's one of the reasons why I was able to not feel bad about, I had a radio job up in San Francisco, and that was one of the reasons I felt good about leaving, is wow, I could park again.
Oh, that's even, I mean, San Francisco, like the worst, right?
Yeah, that's even worse.
When you were on Chelsea, did you had your own spot, though, yeah?
You better believe I did. My name on it and everything.
Oh,
those were the days.
Is that not the coolest thing?
That was, yeah, you know, as much as all of us have done over the years. Yeah, getting your own parking spot in a studio is pretty great.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, that's a big one. Although, how quickly they take it down when the show's over is painful.
Do they paint over it with like a cartoon character voice?
It was down before I think I pulled my car out when we ended the show. Oh. Yeah, they take it down real quick.
Now, do you know who got that spot next? Do you know what show came in after you?
Jimmy Fallon does his LA shows there, but there's nobody there right now.
So literally, it's just sitting there. I think the most depressing thing would be if you saw them immediately take your sign down.
And then put like somebody younger and more hot.
It's like, this is the parking spot for the new YouTube sensation. She's got 2 million followers.
Happens to me every improv I perform at. You know? Like, you can't. We'll move you a couple of weeks because whoever's coming in to do whatever character she does on, you know, with her red lips. So what's that girl? Miranda Sings.
Yeah, Miranda Sings. Yeah. I know because my agent also represents her. So when I have phone calls with him, I hear how average I'm doing and how great she's doing.
Jen Kirkman has the best story about that. You guys know Jen.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Jen is performing in Australia, I guess, their comedy festival. And she's in a little theater, and she's doing well. And she's hearing like uproarious, thunderous applause and laughter coming from the place next door.
Yeah.
It's like, who is that?
Yeah.
And it's this girl, Miranda Sings.
It's Miranda Sings.
It's a worldwide phenomenon.
Yeah. She just does cover songs. Am I right?
I think, yeah. Sings, cover songs and then, you know, like wacky.
She's a character.
She plays a character. Yeah.
She walks up on stage. She puts a lot of lipstick around her mouth, and it goes off from there. Trust me, my agent has shown me the videos. Like, look, she sold out a theater in Iceland. They have a theater in Iceland. Yeah.
Have fun in Sunnyvale, Brad.
Yeah,
right. Yeah.
You're going to Sunnyvale, California, to Rooster Teeth Feathers. Don't get me wrong. I love you. Rooster
I was going to say, as far as clubs go, that's a solid one.
Yeah. But I don't mind it when the YouTubers get to theaters. I really don't mind that because that doesn't infringe.
That's
on
true.
Me, it's when they take improv dates. Comedy clubs. It's like, this is not your world.
It'll end soon, though, right? Something will happen.
It will.
I don't know.
Well, also, they can't be doing comedy club dates because, although the live podcast at comedy clubs is starting to make me think that there could be more just YouTube like Q&As to fill up a comedy club.
Will people go to? I know they.
I don't
do,
think so because also what they watch on YouTube of these kids is like are 2-3 minute things,
right. Yeah,
if that. So that are edited
exactly
and not live.
An hour is a long time.
I feel like you're gonna be exposed, YouTubers.
right. You're gonna have
you
to
hear
really
that some
do your headliner.
You
set.
Hear that PewDiePie? That's the only one. That's the only other one
you
I know.
Hear that?
Oh, is that the one who eats candy or something? The girl, she eats candy, right?
There's a girl that eats candy.
Yeah, that's her whole thing. She sits and eats candy.
Are you thinking of Two Girls, One Cup girls?
No.
Because they eat a lot of candy.
Now I'd go see.
If that was on, I think you could only see that in Mexico or Amsterdam.
Did you hear that? Okay. Fort Lauderdale Improv? Right. Book the Two Girls, One Cup girls.
Some girl eats candy and like talks, like reviews candy, and she's a huge.
Oh, my God. I'm going to stab myself in the eye.
I hope she reviews diabetes medication.
Yeah, well, she is. She's a big girl.
She's got to be to know the products.
Right.
How different was the old Chelsea studio? Because the only time I did it was at Universal, which seems to me to be like really great. But I guess the show got its legs.
It was in
Santa Monica.
Bundy and Olympic.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's when it was fun. It really was. Nobody cared. Nobody knew who we were. And then, honestly, the downfall of it was when we moved to that new studio.
No shit.
Yeah. It really, that's
what we thought it was.
And actually, Adam, the episode you first came on was the episode when everyone started.
You pissed off Lonnie Love. You never piss off Lonnie.
Somebody pissed off Lonnie Love. Who is it? Mo Mandel. It was Mo Mandel.
What did he do?
Yeah. I don't know. You know, he was just being Mo, and you know, sometimes Mo has a
combative.
Caustic, has a, like a caustic.
Well, here's the thing about Jews,
right? You know? That's very.
It's a good Mo. I do a couple
and
good.
And I love Mo, and you know, but he said something that. Like, Lonnie didn't get it, and the audience didn't get it, and...
And he probably came back with something quick right away that...
So, Lonnie was like, oh, fuck that guy, and, you know, Lonnie was one of our big people, so if she said that, then he was gone.
Oh, wow. No. Yeah, you know what, and I think somebody, and Brad, you might have told me, because, you know, the first time, and thankfully not the only time, and you are responsible for that second time, otherwise, you were responsible for me saying... I've done Chelsea instead of I did Chelsea lately once.
Yes.
You know?
But mm-hmm. I felt like you were one of the guys who just got lost in the shuffle. Yeah. It had nothing to do with anything.
It was Lonnie and Michael, but it was like Lonnie was and I knew this going in. I was like, hey, and Brad helped me write some jokes, and we had a couple. I was like, as long as I can get a couple good ones in, because everyone was like, how are you gonna be able to talk over Lonnie? And I was like, I'm not gonna try to, because I think somehow I knew, and maybe I even heard that Mo story of like, don't try to oust a regular that's a staple of the show.
Right. No,
and
I think they just kind of pick your role as a sniper.
Yeah,
like that's you just get your shots and make sure they're kill shots.
I mean, was there perfectly? And I got in a couple good jokes. I think I won that got an applause break, and I almost bowed out after that. That Brad wrote for me, which was
I still remember that.
It was
one.
When the Kardashian Kim had the baby, and I go, I'm just glad we're applauding something that came out of her vagina and not going in. Whatever.
Applause break.
And then I added the little fucking hoorah shimmy.
hoorah shimmy. Wow. I mean.
Check out
Adam Ray's new YouTube channel, Hoorah Shimmy.
He'll be selling out Australian theaters in no time.
That's my magician alter ego.
Yeah, Hoorah Shimmy. Yeah.
That's great.
Come on stage, you're like 10 minutes of stand-up, then you start getting into the outfits, the crowd goes wild.
10 minutes of stand-up, 5 minutes of circumcision, because he is Jewish and a practicing rabbi.
Sure, Hoorah Shimmy.
Right. Hoorah Shimmy, I'm in for that.
Now, I looked up a fact on you, and I need to know if this is true. The only two people that were on more episodes of Chelsea were Chelsea and Chewy.
That's correct. I was on the most out of anybody.
Yeah. Wow.
But not just Roundtable. I did a ton of things on the show.
Well, because you did characters.
Yeah, I did a bunch of characters. And the thing was, that was the great thing about that show. If you wanted to, you could be on every day. Just wrote it. Chelsea didn't care. By year five, she just was like, do whatever you guys want. So I took that. I was the one writer who really took it and said, listen, every day I'll have something new that I'll bring onto the show.
Yes.
So I did. And for that reason, I was on more than anybody. Yeah,
you're great on the round table. You have a good give and take with people, but also like quick jokes, and then you can do longer kind of rant stuff.
That's the thing.
And so she must have acknowledged.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I was a writer over there too. So, but toward the end, it was a real familiarity breeds contempt type of situation.
Yeah,
like the guys who were on the round table, like the Kurt Bronnells and the guys who came once in a while, they just loved them. And then us who were there every single day, in and out. They were like, even Cox to a certain point would just didn't love us anymore. But I can't blame any of we were a pain in the ass too. It wasn't easy to deal with all Fortune and Heather and myself and whoever else was kind of popping at the time for a million different reasons.
Yeah.
it was rough.
I want to tell Brad how I got on the show the second time, and maybe this is where you went wrong Brad. I was in New Orleans doing house party.
Maybe
Adam
the most
Devine.
Fucked up I've ever been in my life when I ran into you.
Can I be honest?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
Because you got me on the show the next day.
Yeah.
Maybe you don't remember that.
No, I remember it. Okay. I remember it. The thing was, I tried to do that to a lot of guys who I liked, because I did at one.
It was very
not
sincere.
Not to be a dick, I did have the power to do it if I would just tell Cox.
And also, and you were so sweet about it, but I could also, we were all pretty fucked up. You definitely were fucked up.
Yeah.
And so I tried to go, all right, like he said it, whatever. But also, you didn't strike me as a lip service guy.
No.
So, but I also wasn't going to hound. But so literally the next day, Michael Cox sends me an email and goes, well, it looks like you partied your way back onto the round table.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, party, dance, hoorah shimmy is back.
Yeah.
Hoorah shimmy. It worked.
Whatever gets you on the show, man. Because what Chelsea became, that round table.
It was the last show to pop a comic,
Yes.
Or maybe the only one, like outside of like.
Other than the actual show Pop a Comic.
God, that was my favorite. I used to watch Pop a Comic over and over. But
can't
it really was.
Parody.
I mean, even more so than like if you get a Tonight Show set or anything, it doesn't do anything.
Nothing. It's for you.
Yeah,
and
for you.
For your family.
That's it.
And
right.
That loved
and it's
it.
A cool credit
totally.
And stuff, but it does nothing.
Gets you a video to play on the at the improv when you say coming next week,
that's what
it gets you.
So when you get, how do you get the job when a show like that is coming around? Like, do you hear that it's Chelsea has this lit because she'd been at the network for a while?
And I'd been working with her. I worked with her on all the shows.
Oh shit,
on all the different shows.
So you basically had solidified like anything.
Yeah, but we were just friends through stand up. I mean, for years, and I met her when she was 19 years old. So that's almost she's 40 now. So however long ago that is. So it was a long, long time. We knew each other, and she was always good to me. It was always anytime she had anything, she would tell me to come write on it.
So you've been writing, would you almost would say, is what got you into the business and what you kind of were first?
Or no, I was a stand-up. Yeah, okay. I was always a stand-up, but nothing, you know, nothing. I didn't do headlining gigs or right. clubs. Yeah. I did every shithole, you know, open mic that would have me here. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, you guys have been, I don't know how long you started. I know you've been around a while.
Yeah,
I'm
at 12.
Yeah, 13 years 13 now. And I,
so you
and
know
I
the Red Rocks,
out here.
Red Rock, oh, yeah. all those places. I mean, I used to do all that shit. And so, you know, with Chelsea, she would do them too. And that's how we kind of knew each other. So then when they got the first thing, it was called the Chelsea Handler Show. It was basically a complete ripoff of the Chappelle Show because of the success of that.
For sure.
They said, let's do a sketch show with sure. her. It's basically the Chappelle.
Sure.
And that's what we did. And she was starting to get – the show was a hit. And then the president of E! Was like, let's make this a daily talk show and have her our host.
Fuck. You know?
So they wanted to get into night. They kind of wanted to get into comedy, and that was pretty much the only comedy they ever did. They tried, you know, Chelsea Lately was their big hit.
Yeah.
And they never really...
They tried
a bunch of other things.
Yeah, they tried to do after shows, and they tried to do the Whitney show.
Yeah, oh yeah, Whitney was produced by us, and it just didn't last.
It's so crazy that you really have no. I mean, it feels like a prime example of this business. Just like, I mean, the fact that show A was the biggest it's popped a comic in however many years.
Yeah,
and then the network that it was on that's not prior to that was not known for
nothing. Yeah. So you had not known for late night, nor comedy, nor
it's known.
Anything.
It's known for the 20 biggest fashion flubs, of
right?
Whatever
that was
the hell.
Remember, and you could be a talking head on those. That's where Chelsea. They initially discovered Chelsea mm-hmm. was being a talking head on one of those E shows. You know, whatever.
God, how many of us started with those?
Yeah, everybody. But once again, that was almost the thing that popped you for a bit. That I Love the 80s and those type of things.
Yeah.
They were good.
And those, and now E and Chelsea Lately is responsible for like the History Channel and AMC and True, like. All these ones that are like, now we want to get in the comedy game because if like E had success.
And all the and all roundtable shows, like there's been so many
all you guys.
Every time there's like a CNN show now, it's a roundtable. And, you know, I'm not saying we were the first ones to do it, but
popular.
Yeah, we were almost kind of a ripoff of what Colin Quinn was doing.
Tough crowd, for sure.
A long time ago. So it was, you know, people have done it before, but we did it well.
Did you know, just, I mean, hanging with Chelsea and doing the open mics, like, I mean, as things progressed, did you kind of go like, because, you know, they always say like, be nice to everybody because you never know who's gonna fucking
totally.
But could you just tell like, oh yeah, this makes sense.
Yeah, she's. I remember vividly the time I knew she was gonna be different than the rest of us. It was gonna go to a different level than, you know. And it was at the Improv. She was doing one of those pretty funny women shows. Yeah, was that girl Lisa Sunset used to do those shows.
Yep.
And she went up and I crushed it. Like I've seen comics crush, but this was, and it wasn't. Whatever she was doing was material we've heard before. She wasn't breaking any ground, comically. But for whatever reason, people just connected to her.
Yeah.
And I think that's why we all thought, you know, let Chelsea leave. We could do Chelsea Lately without her. And people wanted her.
Yeah.
Like if we did shows without her and had guest hosts and whatever, it just... people just didn't tune in.
She was the personality that drove that show.
Exactly.
And you know what? There was such an honesty about her that... not only would she allow other comics to look good on her show, but she was honest. So if you did a joke on that show on the round table that bombed, she would let you know.
Yeah.
And she would kind of give you a look like really? You thought that was going to be fun? Like, and
that was the closest to seeing comics kind of jab at each other that people who aren't in comedy got to see.
Exactly.
Every network has, I feel like at some point, tried to do like, let's get the comics, like capture them just hanging out backstage.
Right.
But it's always so produced. Mm-hmm. But like that, you know, still being a TV show, but you felt...
Right.
Natural with the way
I think to Chelsea's credit, she really did. You know, when she said, let's kind of have the same people over and over again, I was like, I don't know if people will get sick of them. And they didn't, you know, that people really wanted to see Coy and you know, those and the guy Caparulo and those guys over and over again. So it did work.
When do you feel like there was a shift for you being on the show when it was like, oh, like now you start getting like, just
like around season four, whatever season, not season, year four, I guess we did 8 years, almost 8 years. Wow. And so like around year four. I was still like bartending and shit. I mean, I was writing on the show and then going to bartend down the street around Sunset right
now. Oh, shit, where at?
Mirabelle Restaurant. It used to be next to Red Rock.
Do you ever try to like hit on girls when you're a bartender? Like, no, I'm really a writer.
No,
knew you.
People would sit down at the bar and go, wait a minute, didn't I see you on TV last night? And then I was like, you know,
more and more people would say that.
I've always been brought up in the
sure.
Who knows when this shit's going to end, you know?
Right,
so I said,
right.
I would take two shifts a week maybe.
Still
or
shifts.
That, you know, but I did. So right up to the end, and then when people started really kind of recognizing me, I was like, oh shit, this is crazy. So then I was like, I think I might be able to blow this off now. And then I did.
And what – like it's so funny that you still tended bar, because anyone who's outside of the business, and a couple of people that are in,
yeah,
when you get like a cable job like that, they're like, whoa, you must be like, you have swimming sure. pools and a mansion,
right,
and
right,
you're probably banging one of the Kardashians, right?
Exactly.
Like that's happening. You're like, still doing bar.
Because, exactly. You know, it didn't really – I mean, I made money on the show later. Once we went to Universal in the last couple of seasons, we had, you know, we WGA contract, and right. we had a bigger contract. We had another show. And so then it was really good. So and then of course, I was able to headline all over like you
that's
guys do.
Unbelievable.
And that's when it gets good.
Yeah. And have people come out.
Right. Because that's what I got into this business for. Writing and all that stuff was secondary to – I wanted to be a comedian. I said since I was, you know, 10 years old, I want to be a comedian on the road. How I was going to do it, I had no fucking idea. But it kind of worked out in the
end.
None
of us knew.
No, right. There's no, like, formula to really being a road comic.
Yeah. I mean, I can't tell you how many times people have asked, like, so how'd you get, like, where?
Right.
I'm like, open mics.
So when was your pop? Was it Lopez?
Mencia. Yeah, yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Mencia.
Yeah, that's right. They all look alike.
There's another guy who just like, you know, everybody has their moment. You know, like Chelsea Handler was as hot can be.
Mm-hmm.
So was Mencia.
Yeah.
So is Schumer now.
Yeah.
In 10 years, there's going to be a time where Amy Schumer's not the Amy Schumer she is
there's
now.
There's going to be a time when Louis comes back down.
Totally. Everybody.
And Louis has said that. Louis has gone on in interviews and said, yeah, it's not, this ride isn't going to last forever.
I actually believe that you get it once. You get the arena thing one time.
Yeah.
Maybe Kevin Hart might be able to do it twice. But like Cook and Chelsea, we did arenas, and you get it one time, and then you're back to whatever theaters.
What was that like, by the way? I mean, because even the venue in New Orleans you guys were doing was pretty massive,
was
wasn't it?
Yeah, it was like 4,000 or 5,000.
Jesus.
Yeah, yeah,
I mean,
going
from clubs and then just to be getting on planes, I'm sure.
The great story is Chelsea was doing Hilarities in Cleveland. I was doing it with her. She didn't have an hour. So I don't know if you guys have ever done Hilarious. It's Nick, the owner of Hilarious, and this great guy.
He's like the comedy club owner should be.
Yeah, great, sweet, nice old Greek guy. Anyway, he basically said, I'd hate to do this, but you can't headline. Like, I got to drop checks. And so I kind of became the headliner for the weekend that Chelsea featured for me. It wasn't a year later we were playing where the Cavaliers play. It 1 year later.
Quicken Loans?
Yeah, Quicken Loans. We played,
holy crap.
We did two shows of Quicken Loans. And, two shows on a Friday and Sunday.
Unbelievable.
A year later.
And she didn't have an hour the year before.
No. It was just crazy.
Just amazing.
And the Quicken Loans you could see from Hilarities. It's right there.
Yeah.
So it made it even more bizarre.
How is that doing a joke in Hilarities that you then did in the other arena?
And it's just, but, you know, it's so crazy when you walk out there because it's you've done large venues, right, with that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, and the Shrine downtown, I think is. I did Red Rocks with Whitney for a friend's thing, but that doesn't even seem real to me because that was 10,000 outdoors, and I couldn't even hear myself.
No, and they're only looking at the screens, you know.
Yes.
So, I mean, at a certain point, it's just not for comedy anymore.
You lose that intimacy.
You really do. I think you lose the intimacy in some of these bigger clubs. I think Irvine, you know, you lose the intimacy in Irvine.
Mm-hmm,
those guys in the back of Irvine, they're not connected to the show like
you're
the people
so
up front
far
are.
Back. That
they don't
being
give a
said,
shit.
Like yeah,
and
I mean, if,
especially when nowadays we have these things called cell phones have everything on them. It's
right.
Like if you're in the very back row,
you see
and
them start lighting up and around.
Yeah,
you know, we're headliners, so we're the ones who are fucked when they're like, oh, there's a guest spot tonight. I'm like, bullshit, there's no fucking guest spot tonight. It's the show starts at, you know, 10 o'clock on a Saturday.
Oh,
I'm not
no.
letting some guy go up.
Yeah,
and then I go on at midnight.
No,
in a fucking way.
No, and it's funny because it's the problem that I hope every comedian gets to experience at some point is to be the headliner and then have people come up to you and say, hey, we got like two guest spots, three guests, and you're just like, no, it's my show.
Exactly.
I want it to, like, because if this show doesn't go well, if people bomb, if people leave here unhappy, the club doesn't get blamed, the other openers don't get blamed.
It's on you.
Just the headliner.
It's all us.
Yeah.
I totally. And you know, the attention spans are gone because of phones and stuff like that. So keeping people's attention for now, what, maybe 2 hours, if you have a bunch of feature acts and whatever. I mean, listen, if it were up to me, I'd have one opener, guy do 20, forget it.
A lot of guys do that.
Yeah,
I'd
have a guy who's strong enough to feature and then the headliner. Why have an hour before the headliner gets on?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. Yeah, I was telling Brad this the other day just about, like, you know, it'll now be, I think, almost 3 years of me headlining. And it took me a good year and change to get comfortable just even in that role of owning my show and being like, oh yeah, this is all on me, and feeling, because the first year I was just so appreciative to be there and everything, and they were like, "Give me two guest sets at 20 minutes." Of course, yeah, no, let please,
right.
Make it 30 minutes. I'm just happy to be here. But then, and then, like we were just saying, getting more protective about the whole experience and being like, no, like I'm not going on after an hour, and feeling. You know, like
that's a good way to put it, protective of it, because you have to be.
Totally. And feeling like you can put your foot down without, because, and there's a balance between owning the rights to being the headline and being your show. It's like your fucking face is on the poster.
Right.
But also not being a dick and being like, you know, there's no sets other than mine.
No, like Brad said, it does. Yeah. If it's a shit night, it comes back to you. Or, and the club says, forget it. You know, people walked out, whatever the case may be. They're not going to talk about the feature act or the guest set. And honestly, this is kind of dickish of me, but all of us came up the hard way. So to get a packed house on a Saturday night
and get seven minutes,
fuck that. You can't be doing comedy for a year and expect to get a Saturday night at a packed house. It takes forever to get there. So, you know, do what we did and get there way we all did.
It was in Denver. I was in Denver a few weeks ago, and there was
Comedy Works?
Yes, at Comedy Works, my favorite club in the country. And
mine too now. I just went there for the first time.
Isn't it the greatest?
I want to shoot my special there, I think.
It's just like, what a comedy. But it's not
I'm talking about the South, not downtown. I've been to downtown.
Okay, South is great,
but
too.
South.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean.
They're both great.
Yeah.
And we get a call that, or this guy shows up, and he's a boxer that was on ESPN that got famous for doing some sort of rant where he kept saying his hair looked great in a post-fight interview.
Okay.
That is literally what he got quote-unquote famous for.
Right.
And they came to me, they're like, he wants to do time on this Saturday night show. I'm like, no!
Yeah, fuck
you
that.
You start? And this was, I had been coming to Comedy Works for 5 years and slowly building up, and this was at the South Club. I filled it up to the balcony, like the balcony was filled up. I'm like, wait, so you just walk in and get mic right? Fuck you!
I totally agree.
You're a boxer?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't begrudge those guys for trying, but fuck them, you know? You know who taught me that was Joe Coy. Joe Coy, when he was headlining big time before I was, and he, you know, Joe was always, that's your weekend, man.
Yeah.
It's yours to do what you want, and he's not a dick about it, but, you know, Joe doesn't have.
Just tell guys, like, hey, sorry, when you get your own weekend, then you can do whatever you want on your weekend.
And listen. If there's, say, Jeff Ross happens to be in Denver at the time, and then I think a guest spot, A guest spot should be for someone who's a headliner or famous, too.
Yeah.
That's why it's called a guest spot, I think. It's not for a guy who just started out.
Because it also sucks when the host goes on and goes like, all right, we've got a special guest in the house, and the audience is like, ooh, a special guest. Did Joan Rivers come back from the dead? Like, who is this special guest?
And then
it's like, you know him from, he's got a local show at the pub and chub, which I don't know.
I'll tell you what that is. That's the bar Hoorah Shimmy started.
That is. I love that.
He runs the Hoorah Shimmy show over at the pub and chub. Give it up for him. And then the audience is like, that's not a special guest.
Did you ever feel that way about Chelsea, where it's like you lay such the pavement for how successful the show is? Like, was there anybody that came on? And maybe, like, obviously not me because you were so sweet to get me on, but like people that maybe got booked and you were like, oh man, just because you've got a giant following and you like are shitty at Roundtable, you're not going to make the show better.
Yeah, right. I never did. I knew it was her. My ego's not that big. This business to me, shit, I'm fucking lucky to be here, you know? I was an electrician and, you know, I have no background.
Really?
Yeah, I have no background in this shit. I was a construction worker, you know?
What?
So it's
how do you go from that? Were you funny?
Doing stand-up at night for fun, but never expecting it to get to any type of level where I was making a living at it.
Was this in Long Island?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I was
how was the construction business?
A local 3 IBW, you know, regular electrician, man. You know, still have my skills.
No kidding.
Yeah, so that was that's what I did, and you know, just from doing it and being good at it, you know, I was good. I was a pretty decent comic. Back then I was terrible, but I got better. And as you do.
So how do you, as you're doing the electrician construction life? Like, I mean, even let's go a little bit further back from that. Like, when does Chris start realizing, oh shit, people are responding to the way that I'm.
It was probably like about a year in doing a place downtown New York called Eagle's Nest Tavern or something. It's not even there anymore. And they used to have a pretty decent like open mic thing. And if you started to get good there, it got around town that you were pretty good.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that's what happened. And then I just kind of decided to come out here. And I got out here and I immediately got like an acting job on the first HBO special they ever did, HBO TV series they ever did. The first original HBO TV series. It was called Vietnam War Story. And it was the classic Vietnam War story that we all remember and know and love. It was a series of different Vietnam War stories.
All right.
And I was on two different episodes as a soldier. And actually my girlfriend in it, this is a long fucking time ago. Mm-hmm. And my girlfriend was Leah Remini.
From King of Queens.
And now we're friendly.
And Saved by the Bell.
And Stacey Carosi. Yeah.
Yes. And we shot it at Michelli's off Hollywood Boulevard.
Yeah.
That's where we shot. That was like the place for the like dance before we went to Vietnam. And she was my girlfriend. And now we're friendly. We often talk about that. That was like her first job and my first job.
That's amazing. Yeah. But even prior to that, like when did you, like, were you funny in high school? Like, how did you?
Yeah. I mean, I was funny. I knew I was funny. I just, you know, and I knew I loved stand up. You know, I had records. I listened to all of it. And I was a fan of it. And I still am, you know. Mm-hmm. That's why I like, you know, meeting you guys. I don't think Brad and I have ever met Adam.
Yeah, I think just in passing at the improv.
Yeah, passing
every
once. But so like, and I'm fans of everybody. Yeah, like I know all the guys, and I know a lot of times comics can be dicks to each other for whatever reason. If this guy gets successful, that guy does. Mm-hmm. But I've never been that way. I'm fans of all the guys. I know them all. I know their work. So
I mean, it is, you know, rare. I mean, there is a nice support. Competitive system of amongst everybody out here, but like the fact that you and I had met a few times at shows,
right?
And then kicking it in New Orleans, and then you just saying I want, like, that was so. And maybe there was a part of me that didn't buy because I was just so conditioned to being like, that's just not how people are,
right?
So,
well, that was the great thing about our show, because we, you know, we had people that we everybody liked each other. All the people, mm-hmm. if anybody was a dick on the round table, backstage or whatever, they never came back.
Oh,
so
shit.
So we did have that, and we wanted to get people we liked on the show. It only made us look better, if the show was good.
And so. I'm glad that you saw that as an opportunity. Like, well, if the show does well,
right,
then we do well.
Exactly.
It's not, what sketches can I be in? What can I do? If you have talented people on there, then it all reflects back on
totally.
You guys, and then you guys come back and you have jobs the next season.
Right. And that was, you know, and once the show really took off, God, if I could help somebody, man, I was more than happy to do it. Because I, listen, my job was good there. So no matter how great they were, I wasn't going to get kicked off the round table or whatever. So.
Was there ever a interview or joke that went over? Like, there had to be in the, I mean, how many, 9 seasons again? Or?
We didn't really do seasons there because we were
all
year long. So, but it was 8 years. We did 1,577 shows.
Holy shit.
So that's a lot,
all right.
That's a lot of jokes. Yeah, it's a lot of bad monologue jokes along the way.
Yeah, go ahead.
Some days some days we just phoned it in. There were days where we were like, fuck it, and Chelsea was good at that. She'd be like, I'll just make it up. I'll talk about what I did last night.
She was so good at that.
I know, but it really did resonate with people. People kind of enjoy, like, there were points on the round table where we would just talk about, you know, a vacation we were on.
I was just going to say.
And people loved it.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't think any show has done it since, or I don't know if people, like, networks don't have the freedom. To E's credit, they let us do whatever the fuck we wanted. They never said a thing to us.
Thank God.
We never got a note. We never got because I think we were in a separate building from them.
Thank God.
So by the time they got it, it was done. It was already finished.
Because if they had come in, because you know, you hear stories in the business of people that have never done never done comedy, but maybe they come in and they go, well, we know that we've never done a comedy show before, but here's how we think you guys should run your comedy show.
Oh, yeah. You see it all the time. I saw it on when I did, I think you guys both did it, the Cox show that he was doing with the funny videos or whatever, and Terry Crews.
The Cox show?
Yeah, Michael Cox.
Oh,
not the Cox show. Although I've done
it. It's like the Cox show. I thought you could only do that in Mexico.
Michael Cox show?
No, the World's Funniest?
World's Funniest,
no,
yeah. No. That was the thing that they were trying to make Chelsea Lately, and they had the exact same people from Chelsea Lately. Mm-hmm. But then they were like, no, but don't be too fun and don't banter with each other. I'm like, so this
yeah,
is
I
not,
watched the episode.
Was,
and I
yeah,
was like,
it was
oh,
so many rules and they would stop it. And we never ever took a second take on Chelsea Lately ever,
because that's what made the show honest.
Yeah.
You knew, because I mean, listen, someone like Byron Allen, what he's managed to do, hey, you built an empire, dude.
Yeah,
so.
Right.
Respect to you, but everyone craps on it because everyone knows that it's so organized.
I hated doing that show so much. I mean, I think that might be... Because
we've all done it.
I know, everybody. Yeah. If I had to choose my worst experience, it was doing that show.
Really?
I was so against everything I liked.
I will go on record and 1,000% agree. I did not even want to do it. The only reason I did it is because Brad was doing it, and he goes, come on, we'll have fun. We'll banter together. And that idea sounded good. The same reason the podcast started.
Yeah.
There was no banter. And quite honestly, I almost went by around and leaned over, and he goes, so I'm going to... During the commercial break, he goes... And again, this doesn't... What he's built, good on you.
Yeah.
But I've never watched a show and been like, I gotta be on Comics Unleashed.
No.
I always was like, that's so unorganic, whatever. But then again... And so then, now that I was in the seat, I literally had a moment as I'm looking out in the crowd, and when Byron leaned over to me, and he was like, he's like, so I'm gonna come to you first and be like, so I heard you've been partying or something.
Yeah.
And I literally almost said to him, don't fucking talk to me the rest of the show, and don't ask me that question, and I'm going to get up. Brian, here's what's going to happen. You're going to say that, and I'm going to get up and give the deuces sign, throw out a couple Hoorah Shimmy t-shirts, and get the fuck off this soundstage.
I mean,
but I look over at Brad, and Brad is just a pro, and like that's what was enjoyable. I don't know if anyone will remember anyone else on that episode, because Brad destroyed from the chair, then got up from the chair and started being physical. And as soon as he did that, I was just staring across from him being like, you piece of shit.
That's what I was on. Just,
the crowd was going
I was on with Darren Carter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who, you know, I like Darren.
Sure.
He's a good guy. But Darren is
with
built
sound
for that
effects
show.
And, but he just goes off. Yeah.
He is the crowd's full of Latino kids who've been there for nine, bust in and have been there for 9 hours,
hopped
up on Otis Spudmire muffins or whatever they get. You know, and so they're not laughing.
Otis Spudmire, shots fired. Yeah, yeah. Also, not going to be a sponsor on this podcast now.
So they're not. No, I'm saying that in a good way.
Yeah.
But they're not listening to anything I'm saying. And then, you know, of course, Darren gets up and does his, you know, rap thing.
Yeah, Snoop, a white guy with a Snoop Dogg impression.
Yeah, and people are just going berserk.
You're not there anymore.
Yeah, so I'm like, you know what? Fuck this, man. Nothing against Darren. That's what Darren does.
Oh, no, he's
talented. But it was just not my cup of tea. And... It always like you have four quality comedians like you guys and Darren and myself and I forget who else is on that with me. Like, let them just like why are we scripting them so much?
Wind us up, let us go.
Yeah, like I guess it's because I don't know, like the host is not a good comedian or whatever. I don't know his deal. He was kind of a dick to me there, and I, you know, I don't know. Fuck that guy.
Well, you know, it's weird because the episode Adam and I were on together, we recorded that like 2 years ago,
right?
And it still hasn't aired. Still hasn't aired.
I don't think
you hear how silent I was. I was like, thank God.
I know. And if it did, would you ever know? Like,
maybe we'll get a tweet.
I don't think mine's aired either.
I don't know. There's always Comics Unleashed has a way of finding your TV when you're like,
I know.
Maybe at the punchline in SAC, you know, you're chilling that double, you know, duplex condo, and you're like, man, let me watch TV upstairs for a couple hours.
Yeah.
That's right. The condo's got two floors.
Yeah.
My God.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you have to run across the street to get to the club, and nobody comes and picks you up.
Oh,
and,
man.
Yeah, it's.
Well, no. Why would they do that?
I know. It's so
gas
weird.
Is so expensive.
It's like nobody gives a shit. Some clubs just get. Like, we talked about Denver. It's so great.
Yeah.
And then, like, some clubs, they don't give a fuck about you.
They'll throw you the red roof in, and you're like, there's no food within walking distance, and I don't have a car. They're like, delivery? I'm like, so nothing? You guys aren't going to come out?
Westport, Funny Bone. You're in the middle of fucking nowhere.
St. Louis.
There's no food. Yeah. Westport. Yeah. Whatever. I'm doing it in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, so come out and see him.
Great crowd,
bring
right?
me food. It's always fun.
Yeah,
it's always
fun. Yeah.
Once you're at the club, it's a good time, but it's just, you're in the hotel, then there's nothing even close.
Yeah.
And that makes the city bad.
It does. I went and saw the Arch on my way to the airport.
Which is a bit far from Westport.
Yes.
You know, getting to downtown St. Louis, a fucking,
my buddy,
taxi.
It's far. And he literally goes, do you want to see the Arch? And I was like, I thought that's like an all-day thing. He goes, nah, man. So Sean drives me by. We get out. I look at it. I go, wow, the fucking Arch.
Yeah.
All right, man. Take me to American Airlines.
And they do a midnight show that they do a Saturday. Did you do it?
Of course.
Yeah. I've since learned that, like, the headliner doesn't have to do it. But I'm like, oh, but then they say you're the dick who didn't do it.
Right.
So
midnight
you
show.
Still have
I think,
to do it.
I've been there three times. I think the next time I might not do it because it was you know, we all use a good amount of vocal and physical just energy.
Yeah.
And that dude, that's also the smoking thing.
It's gone. Stop.
Voice is like, half, 50%.
Yeah, no more smoking there.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah. Was there ever anyone on Chelsea, because that's also the thing that probably took it up notches when you start seeing like fucking giants, like Sandra Bullock, Jennifer, I mean like all these 50, all these people coming on. And you're like, oh, wow, like we're getting as big, if not bigger guests than The Tonight Show gets.
Our final show was absolutely ridiculous. I couldn't believe the amount of people who showed up. It was, and you didn't even see half of them, which was the amazing thing.
The camera didn't cover
them. No, we didn't have enough time to show.
The camera didn't cover Ted Danson.
No, like giant stars. Even like Sandra Bullock and Selena Gomez and Vanessa Hudgens and Sammy Hagar and Rick Springfield.
What the fuck?
I mean, you didn't even see half those people.
Yeah.
Because Rick Springfield was in the back. Richard Marx was there.
What?
Fluffy, Gabriel Iglesias.
Yeah.
Just crazy amounts of people.
Right.
Just kept coming.
Did you try to shoot the shit with every one of them? I mean, did you try to just stay cool and not? But they know you from the show.
Yeah, that was the thing, which was always kind of cool about that. Like, when we first had Katy Perry on back at the old studio, Katy Perry was just starting to pop.
All right, Adam, take a breath.
Do you like her?
Like her is a, I don't know if I would use that word to describe. Well, let me just put it this way, Chris. I had a NyQuil dream. In which
is that your thing, Katy Perry? Like that, like big tits? Well, you know, like
brunette. But you know, she might. They might. They seem skin. Like they're the a wonderful size. but I don't think they're too big. But I don't like too big.
Right, understatement of the century.
But you know what I mean. She's famous for like her tits. You know.
Yeah, hey, have you seen the documentary on her tour?
She's
put in a lot of hard work. I watched it.
Oh,
on the plane.
Hey, I'm sure she has. I really do. She's you know.
But no, I had a NyQuil dream, Chris, and I haven't had a NyQuil dream. Dream about Bonnie Raitt or Rita Runner or anybody else.
What
about
the fuck's
like
a NyQuil dream?
Take NyQuil.
Yeah, take NyQuil.
Fucked up dreams.
Oh, really?
And watch the fun happen.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
And I'm not saying like I took the like an over excessive amount. I took the appropriate amount and just NyQuil sometimes goes, you know what? You've been working hard. I'm going to reward you with a eating out Katy Perry fucking buck naked, full on. I mean, it could not have been more real.
And that's the best part.
You know, and I was telling Brad this. I go, I don't think I'd had a sex dream not like 5 years, but like something that was that vivid to where I woke up and literally was like, it took me a few minutes to readjust to reality. And how did I wake up? My iPhone alarm clock was the guitar, dun, 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 like the staple. And literally, I get up at one point, and we were like changing positions, and I hear the guitar thing, and I go, what the fuck is that? And I look over in the corner, and there's just a dude playing a guitar.
Oh, like you incorporated that into the dream?
Yes. And so then I see that, and I go, what the fuck is that? And literally in the dream, I had to stare and go, why is that guy? And then the more that it went off, and then all of a sudden, in the dream, I remember going, no!
Oh, that sucks. No. I'm sorry. Yeah. About that. Yeah, sorry to bring that up.
So just proceed with. I mean, he lights candles.
So yeah, she's all right.
Yeah.
In anticipation of you telling a Katy Perry
story. So we had Katy Perry on, and our executive producer came upstairs. I was upstairs, you know, just working on the next show. And they said, could you come downstairs? Katy Perry wants to take a picture with you. So because Katy Perry used to watch Chuck. You know, she was 24 at the time. It was like right up around. So she loved it. Mm-hmm. So and I used to play a character called the Gay Caveman on the show, which was kind of a popular character on the show. And so she loved that. So I had to come down and take a picture with her. So that's when I was like, oh shit, this is fun. Like people, like these people watch the show.
Yeah.
Like. Yeah, it's great.
Always fun when you get to, if you can be a part of something that you know other people in the industry are watching.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
It's around like, hey, you guys see the. No? All right. Like, oh, yeah, you're on a show. Okay.
Right.
But then, like, when you're on that thing, when people are coming up to you, asking you questions, wanting to get on the show, people are, like, sucking up to you. You're like, oh, wow, this is.
Yeah, it was a good time. Something. It was a good time.
Have you. You don't keep in touch with Katy Perry, then?
I don't know. I haven't seen her since. You've seen her more than I have in your dreams. Yeah,
that is true. Right. I won't argue that.
Now, you played so many memorable characters on Chelsea lately.
Yeah.
One of my favorites that you did was Johnny Depp.
Johnny Depp, yes.
And I don't know if you know this, but our boy Adam Ray has a little bit of a Johnny Depp impression himself.
Do you do a Johnny Depp impression?
That's one of the first ones it's Johnny Depp. It's Pirates of the Caribbean.
That's kind
of
what I do.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
sure.
How. That's like.
So let's do.
Mine is really. He really bubbles. It's not.
All right.
I haven't done it in a while.
All right, Adam, you play Johnny Depp. That is the owner of a pool toy store.
Gotcha.
And
okay.
You're Chris, looking for you pool toys. Play the Johnny Depp, who's the customer looking for. Pool toys.
Boy, Brad, if this comedy thing does not work out, you should definitely direct improv shows. because that is fucking.
I'm giving you a specific situation.
Because you got it. Yours is better than mine, but mine was just the ridiculous things he would say.
All right, I'm going to be on the phone first with a customer,
okay,
and then
and I'm going to ask for pool.
So give me about give me a few seconds to deal with the customer on the phone, and then come in and interrupt, and I'll get off the phone.
And scene.
Yes, that's right. We've got we've got big toys and small toys. We've got balls and blow up things.
Excuse me.
Anything for a pool?
I was looking for a couple of.
I'm fucking this up, man. I used to do it so good. I haven't done it in so long, and now my ear is attuned to yours. So
So do your impression of Adam Ray doing his impression.
I was wondering if you had any type of like a floaty that I could probably.
We've got tons of floaties. The store is called We've Got Tons of Floaties. So of course we've got floaties. Are you fucking crazy?
That's what I'm looking for. Looking for like a floaty.
Do you want like a purple floaty or a black floaty?
Like a smaller
floaty. A smaller floaty.
Orlando
Bloom floaty. How dare you? Too soon. You know he's becoming the star of that film. We've got. How much are you willing to spend on floaties?
What do I have in my pocket? I have a large vest on and 9 pairs of jeans and bandanas.
I did notice the excessive amount of pants you were wearing.
Yes, and so there's a lot of pockets and
right, a lot of pockets,
money
and money.
Oh, we do now. I'm going to like English now, but he does some sort of weird.
He does.
English
his affect is all.
Weird thing is, like a guy from Kentucky. That came about. Jen Kirkman and I were writing partners on the show, and we used to just do some bizarre shit. And we were watching him on an episode of Ellen. Mm-hmm. And he's just at
his
truly believe
Johnny
that
Deppness.
Yes, he's wearing the fucking guy was wearing a monocle, and I believe
that's
that like
insane.
I believe that if you
wear
get
a monocle
a point,
and you're not
you
hosting get, Monopoly,
right. Exactly, or like the pretzel guy. I think Mr. Pretzel has
Mr.
a monocle.
Mr. Peanut.
Mr. Pretzel.
Boy, Mr. Pretzel would be furious.
There was a Mr. Pretzel too, wasn't there?
Maybe.
I think it was Mr.
How many salty mascots were there?
Yeah, exactly.
there was because Mr. Pretzel's name was Mr. Salty, I believe. And he was stick.
Mind
he was
blown.
Stick figured pretzel guy.
You hear that, NyQuil? Let's sort this out tonight.
Yeah. Oh, tonight it'd be fucking Mr. Pretzel.
I don't know if that was a threat or a request.
Yeah, I don't know.
Either way, it's going to happen.
Yeah. Right, anyway, so that was...
Like, Johnny almost becomes, like, I think he's aware, and I think he's like, what can I do today that's the most Johnny Depp thing that I
that's
can do?
What is he aware, or is he completely unaware?
Like,
I
think I'm only wearing 7 scarves.
It's amazing. Like, and I think it gets to the point where you get so famous that nobody tells you what you can and can't do.
There's that.
And that's why you could wear a monocle, because if you guys wear a monocle, Adam would tell you,
bags.
What the fuck are you doing? You know, like, right, so you can't.
Yeah.
Or that's why Michael Jackson was able to wear like what he wore.
Yeah.
Because nobody told him no.
And you're that famous, and you're that also you gotta be that cool. Like,
right.
You know, the voice and everything. Like, it doesn't people joke about it, but they joke about it and then they immediately are kinda like, oh, I wish I was that cool where I could just do shit like that because there is a swagger to him.
Where you can wear like 27 scarves, have purple sunglasses, and Amber Heard still wants to fuck you. Every dude,
I know,
at some point has thought about that amount of flair. Like, I mean, whether you've tried doing the hat phase or the necklace or the bracelet thing, but also I think he has bought into the hype of who Johnny Depp is. I think he's a little outside of himself, and he's like, well, like Brad just said, he probably looks in the mirror and he's like, okay, is this a 15 scarf day or a 19 hat day or a 15 pants day? Maybe it's all of the above. And then, and by the way, that wasn't him saying that to the mirror. That was the mirror saying that to him. That's how fucking crazy
he's got one of those.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
So he's on Ellen, and he's basically talking about how he came up with these different characters. And one of them, he's talking about how he came up with Beetlejuice. And he said, Beetlejuice basically is a mixture of a baby and a dog. And like, what the fuck does that even mean? Like, what?
And Ellen's just like, yep.
So no. From that, Jen and I came up with the concept selling scarves on QVC. And that's what we did.
A baby and a dog. Right. That sounds like a cartoon show on Adventure Time or something. Like, one could actually say that. Like who would do that?
Johnny Depp tells him he can't.
Now, was Ellen, do you remember this appearance? Was Ellen, because I feel like that would be the one time Ellen would be like, you know what? Maybe I'm not gay because this guy's fucking hot.
Have you seen him lately, though?
No. Is he letting it go?
his teeth are completely rotted.
From tobacco, yeah?
Yeah, I guess it's from tobacco. He's one now. He's got a red cap on one. I just saw him when he did that thing on the Grammys. He played band at the end.
Yeah,
the Hollywood Vampires or whatever. He looks bad. I guess he's I guess the sex symbol thing he's kind of given up on. He's just going to do characters now.
Well, I'm okay with that.
Me too.
He's fucking Amber Heard. I'm good.
Is he still with
her?
Is that
Amber Heard was in the Playboy Club. Yeah. She was the show that only lasted like two episodes. She was like one of... The story is that she was out as, like, essentially Hollywood's hottest lesbian.
Right.
And then she's like, but now I'm with Johnny Depp.
She's one of those people, I swear to God, like if you guys or myself had, like, just a decent publicist. There's so many fucking girls like that girl.
Right.
I can't tell you one fucking thing that girl did, but yet I hear her name every single day.
Right.
Do you know who Gigi Haddad is? Does anyone know who that woman is?
No.
No, but her name is...
Norman, our friend Norman
her
is
Her name
nodding
is in the news every eventually single day. Gigi Haddad.
What did she do?
I think she's a model. Or she hangs out a Kardashian or something.
All right.
I feel there's a whole slew of those people who do really. I can't tell you a movie they've been in.
I gotta get a damn publicist.
I know.
That just goes. All right. You've seen hot chicks just lay on the beach and do nothing.
Right.
How about a midget lay on the beach and do nothing?
I would watch it.
Yeah. Well, you're a good guy. Right. What? Now you haven't just written on Chelsea. You've written Family Guy.
Many years ago. Oh yeah, well, that was when Chelsea was hosting. I did the VMAs twice.
What's that like?
It was great, man. It was great because you could just to be there and watch the rehearsal where there's nobody there. And they do the full-on performance.
Yeah, because they got to do camera.
That seems like one of the coolest shows.
So you just sit there with Eminem and Rihanna did that. You know that, and we had the drums
it was
and
that
stuff,
one,
and it was
right
that one. It was Kanye doing the asshole. What is that?
What is it?
Stand for the douchebag, here for the assholes.
Oh, that song.
Yeah, that song. And everybody, it was a great, great show. And it was wild to just see that. And I, honestly, weirdly enough, of all the people, Kanye was like the nicest one backstage throughout the entire week we were working.
Who
with
knew?
Him. I know, it's crazy. That's why I kind of think the whole thing's kind of, he's like a professional wrestler. The whole thing's kind of...
There's a part of me, he's going to like take off his mask at some point, and it's just going to be Bill Murray going, gotcha!
That's what it feels like.
Can you imagine?
He's totally a character. He's just playing a character.
It sounds like it. Now, when you were writing on that, were you writing just for Chelsea, or were you writing for all the people that were like...
The interstitials, and we did, like, that's when, Jersey Shore was hot, so we had to write some stuff for them because they were doing a lot of things on the show.
How
quickly that came and went.
Yeah,
huh?
Right. Now, when you're doing something like, and you're used to working with Chelsea, who's a professional comedian, she's in the world of comedy, and then they stick you with The Situation, which sounds like the name of his next reality show.
Right.
Stick you with The Situation.
So hard.
Yeah.
So hard. And you feel bad for them because they're not comedians. And, you know, we did it when we had guest hosts on the show. You know, we used to have a lot of, towards the end, Chelsea would take a lot of time off, and we had, you know, some great people, Dave Grohl,
and that's insane, by the way.
So it was great. Dave did it for two straight weeks.
Yeah,
but the guy's like a real comedian, so we didn't have to write anything for
Dave,
him.
Dave can do anything.
Yeah, he's hilarious.
Dave Grohl, if I was about to go under for a surgery and Dave Grohl popped up and like put the mask on, like, hey, I got this, I'd be like,
okay,
all right, I'm good.
Well, exactly. That's great.
Good.
Yeah,
I might step in, but
I would let it happen because what crazy a way to go.
Yeah. So, and then we had the guy, like, you know, we had the kid from, he's married to the blonde girl who's on Parenthood. I forget his name.
Dax Shepard.
Yeah. Funny guy, great guy. But he was just like, I don't want to shit on anybody. You know, I'm here for one day.
Totally.
I don't want to talk shit like that, you know, about the Kardashians or whatever. So, and he didn't, so he had some problems with it. And there were some people who just didn't want it. And I understand that. You're not going to come for one day and shit on Hollywood and then never
and
work
then
again.
And then go back to Hollywood.
Right. So it was interesting to work with people who weren't comedians. Hard, very hard.
What's the VMA writing process like? There's a team of writers, but I mean, Chelsea
It was just us. It was just myself, Sarah Colonna, Chelsea, and like two other guys from the show.
Because she's like, yo, these are my guys. I trust them.
And we wrote some commercials beforehand for, you know, who we had great people in the commercial. We had Kid Rock come and did a commercial with us. Who's the son of Julio Iglesias?
Enrique.
So we had some cool
Iglesias.
People. Yeah, everybody was great. You know, it's such a nobody gives a shit about the host thing. You realize once it's starting, the host is. That's why I feel all those shows, the performance is always like, you know, like even Ricky Gervais and people you like, they're like, they're better outside of it. I don't think you can win that battle.
Well, it's like they get, the host essentially gets a monologue.
That's it.
Up front, and that's it.
Right. And they don't even want that. They want, let's get, because Eminem opens it with this giant performance. Here comes Chelsea and the Lady Gaga doing some Lady Gaga thing. And these people are rowdy as shit. They want the next performance.
They just saw a rock concert.
Right, and they're setting up another one right next to her. And so they're seeing whoever's coming out.
And they're all like, ooh, whose drum kit is that? Whose guitar is
that's
that?
Exactly
like, they're all distracted.
So I felt bad for Chelsea because in the end, she's the one who was out there. Like, and she was like, she could see it. You know, we've all done comedy. You could see it when an audience doesn't give a fuck about you.
Oh, yeah.
And she was like, she goes, the moment I came out, and it was a big job. We had her come down from the ceiling in a bird cage. And she was just like, I knew the moment I walked out, this is going to be a fucking long night. Yeah. And in the end, it kind of was. Well, it was the last time I think they had a host because just nobody works, especially on the VMAs.
It's all about the rock. Like, that's why they have LL Cool J host the Grammys every year. It's because he's not doing a monologue.
He doesn't do anything. He should do it.
He goes, ha ha, wow, that was great. And now this.
Right. Like, that's how LL. He should do it.
Yeah. And, man, it's just, it's so nuts that, like, it's the VMAs, and it's something you grew up watching, and hosting is such a thankless job. Like, even your buddy from Family Guy, Seth MacFarlane. When he hosted the Oscars, first of all, I loved it.
Yeah.
I loved when Seth hosted it. It was different. It was new. It was edgy.
Right.
And, but then all the reviews the next day, shitty host. You can't win.
I really, look, when Chris Rock does it next week, you'll see. It's just something you can't really win.
How do you think that's going to be?
I think Rock's a pro and he'll handle it fine, but the reviews the next day will be he was either too edgy or
not
like,
edgy
like
enough.
Seth was or not edgy enough. Or
Do you think he's going to take stabs? He has to, right?
Oh, you like, have to.
And probably going to be push the envelope with it. Like, this is, it's kind of like a...
Hopefully. But then again, the other thing is you do have to have some sort of respect for the show itself because it's not that sort of thing.
It's
you know
not
what
a comedy
so you do
club.
Have to kind of walk that fine line.
And
right.
It is the Oscars. It's the room of literally all the most powerful people in Hollywood. So it's like, it's kind of like, you know, you being like, well, I kind of want to work again. Like, like when the guest host would come in, they're like, they're not going to shit on all their contemporaries, especially not when their contemporaries are sitting right in front of them.
Sure. So that's did you see TJ do, TJ Miller do the one he did a few weeks ago?
Yeah.
I mean, People's Choice or Critics?
Yeah, TJ went out there, balls out, you know, did some stuff that was too, you know, just... If it didn't work,
quintessential TJ
didn't work right away, and then he was stuck with five dummies attached to him for like 10 minutes, and I don't think anyone in the audience knew who he was. That was the thing about it. You know, TJ's big to us, but I don't think like Matt Damon knows who TJ Miller is. So a lot of them were sitting there like kind of a little baffled by it.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, it's a job that. Like, there's a show that has asked me to host, and I'm not going to say which one because I don't know if I'm going to do it yet or not.
Yeah.
But it's because I'm debating. I'm like, wow, I don't know if I want
you mean host
to do
like an award show?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I would say.
I know what it is.
I would say don't.
You know what it is.
Oh, is it porn? Is it porn one? Don't do that porn one.
What are you talking about? The porn awards?
I went to that. Yeah. Talk about an absolute shit show. You've gone, right?
Yeah, I've been there.
Yeah. Who just did it this year? That poor girl?
Kate Quigley.
But that girl's not even. She's been doing comedy for a year. They must have eaten her alive.
I did not see it yet. I don't think it's aired yet. Maybe it has. I don't know. But it's. They're asking me, and I'm just kind
of
like.
Are they not respectful of the host in those situations?
Well, they're not respectful of anybody. They're completely drugged out.
They're not
even
respectful of their own assholes.
Exactly.
They're letting all sorts of equipment go in there.
So, but in that's
how they
going to
respect the punchline?
Way,
they can't respect.
You're talking about a bunch of white trash fucking losers who now been released on the on Vegas to do whatever the fuck they want.
Yeah.
So they're all hammered. They're all, but they think they're famous. They all look like shit in real life. I mean, some of them my friends. And
hate to be your enemy.
But then they asked Fortune Feimster and I to go do like give out an award.
Yeah. For what award?
Best anal. And we
can
gave
I be honest?
To...
Why do I feel like that's the best supporting actor?
And we gave it. And we gave it
like Forrest Whitaker. Would
they do
that.
It right?
Like,
they do it right up front. Too. Yeah, it's like the first one.
It's because like it's a big award, but it's not the big award.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, what's the real big?
But
one?
The same girl won both. I'll tell you that.
What?
The same girl as performer of the year, or whatever. The same girl won. But little tiny little forget her name. She's cute little thing.
Sure. Oh,
she's like a big star now.
Is she on Entourage?
No, not that one. The
what's her name again?
Like a real actor.
June Butterfinger.
Yes, June Butterfinger.
Hey, I will have you know, if I name porn stars, the world will be a better place.
You're going to be June Butterfinger.
You are
Andrea Crunch. I can do this all day.
You are so... Smithers Musketeers.
Yeah, Smithers. What?
I don't know,
that's
man.
Hilarious. Yeah, but that was a shit show. So, I mean, but you know, you're perfect for it.
You are perfect.
Because that's the one.
Because
they do
I am
need,
a shit show.
They do need to inject more. Because it used to be a kind of a legitimate gig. Attell did it, and
yeah,
people would watch it on
Robert
Showtime.
Schimmel did
yeah,
it.
Yeah, Schimmel. And,
well, Brad, you also possess a. Like, you don't. You know, I've done. Crap bar, you command attention,
right?
And you're good at it. And also, you'd have jokes and this and that. And I, you know,
well, then and I walk out on a stage of a bunch of porn stars, they probably all stare up at me like, have I fucked one of those before?
For sure.
As a matter of fact, I know one that you and I did.
Are we Eskimos?
We both did.
Oh, really?
Is that what that means?
Was it June Butterfinger?
It was June Butterfinger.
I forget her
June
name. No, it was June Butterfinger. She was delicious.
I haven't even had a NyQuil.
We'll there is a girl.
We'll talk off
there
mic.
Is a girl that we did. Yeah,
okay.
Both of us did.
Wow.
All right.
That's
at least
a fun
at least she tells me she did you.
Oh, she said. Oh. Yeah.
Oh.
I would see. In my opinion, that's almost better.
Actually, I think there's two. I'm not fucking around.
I think that's almost better if you're the guy that girls are claiming they slept with, but you really didn't. It's
right.
Like I think that's when you really arrive.
Yeah, that is pretty good. That
yeah.
Is good.
So yeah. I'm anxious to shut the mics off in a little bit and
I'm not proud of it. It's not
true.
We could have done better, both of us. I think. Yeah. So
what are the parties like at the VMAs versus the AVNs?
Well, they had some great parties. We had our own party, which we fucked up. We were going to do that again. Mm-hmm. We like everyone's going to have and we'll have our own host, you know, Chelsea Handler party at the Roosevelt Hotel. And so it was just us who see each other every day anyway. I'm like, oh, you fucking guys again? And the one girl who came was Florence from Florence and the Machine.
But she's awesome.
I know.
Though.
She was great. And she was so nice. And but we didn't have – and then I – like across the street was some really great parties. But we did our own thing.
Stupid Tyga.
Oh, and the other kid came. The kid from – he's an actor. He won a fucking Oscar. But he's also in a band. That's not his thing.
Oh, Jared Leto.
Yeah, Jared Leto. He came too. Yeah, so that was those were our two celebrities.
That's two good solid gets.
They're both good. Yeah.
Yeah. It seemed like two people that liked to party.
And I thought like Florence Machine actually had the best performance of the night that night too. So she was hot.
That's cool.
Fuck. Yeah. That's cool.
That's a world that I want to start getting into Florence and the Machine parties. That's
yeah, it was
that,
a good one.
That sounds like a fun world.
She's a nice.
That also, I mean, What now, you having such a like neutral just stance on this business, like you said, coming in, like you never,
right?
Like, I mean, what you've achieved, I mean, you obviously probably had somewhat dreams of, right? But you,
oh, yeah,
but you're saying, like, you never, you're like, how fortunate you are to be in this position, but like, are there certain things that you want in stand up or in acting, or like, you, like, you're saying, if I can be on a show that's so popular, the president wants to meet me, like, then I've made it. Like, is there any sort of,
I mean, I would like to be a bigger stand up. That's where at this point in my career, I'd like to do that. I'd like to get – I know some of these guys, they do it. You know, the guys who jump from clubs to theaters. I just don't know how.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I do well in clubs.
Well, I mean,
I don't know
our fans could hear your stand-up by getting your album, The Shallow End.
The Shallow End, which is okay.
Available on
it's
iTunes.
Okay. You know, like you release an album and then it 2 weeks later, you're like, I don't do that shit anymore. You know what I mean? I mean, I like that album.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's you know, just not what I do anymore.
Well, and that's the thing is we've all released albums here. And it's exactly that. You release the album and then you write a couple new jokes. You're like, oh, I wish those had been on the album.
Exactly. So that's even where you just did your second special.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. My second one.
That's great, man.
So now I'm trying to write another hour before.
So you think?
It comes
I mean,
out.
I think that's.
Nuts.
Are you theater worthy yet?
In Los Angeles, and it looks like next year in Denver.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, see that? How 1,000 seater?
Yeah, like 1,012. But that's only like in two markets.
Yeah,
so,
right.
But it's growing.
Yeah,
it's,
you know, hey, that's great, man.
Great. Stop. You know, great place to start at. And but it's funny, and I'm sure you've experienced this, where it's amazing where you go to some places and it's a packed house, it's a raucous audience, they're awesome, and then you go to a city, which I don't want to name because I don't want to badmouth them.
Yeah.
But and then it's not that.
It's amazing. I can't for the life of me figure it out. I just did Chicago, Sandy, Chicago, just this weekend.
Great club.
Packed it out.
Yeah.
Packed, you know, all of them. Not all three. Mm-hmm. Rosemont, blah, blah, blah. Not that the downtown one's 85 seats, whatever. But, and then, you know, some cities I do great in, and other ones I walk in on Saturday night, there's, you know, 48 people.
Is it weird going from a situation where you're, like, opening for Chelsea and having fun with Chelsea, and then, like, those crowds, then you go, like, all right, now I'm going to play the Looney Bin.
It does. Yeah. I mean, it was, but I would rather play the Looney Bin, because, like I was saying, it's just you lose something. You see it when you're on stage at the. You could see the up upper tier of people. Mm-hmm. They're not even they're in, going in and out of getting, you know, beer and whatever else. You know, I was just about to go on opening for Chelsea, and I could see the lines of the beer people. Like, these didn't have to be in their seats yet. And Chelsea was very good about that. She was like, no, we'll wait till pretty much everyone's sat. She was pretty good about it.
That's huge. And because you don't want to be up there as people are walking in their seats, getting settled, and you're like, and you're just dying up there as a placeholder.
Yeah, right. The good thing was we were also kind of known from the show, so I wasn't just an opening act that nobody knew.
Right.
So once we came on, they were like, oh, it's Chris Mandrello. We know him too. So we did get some attention more than you would if you were just an opening act for somebody that big.
How do you keep busy on the road? Like, what's your
man? You know, second time around the city, I'll do stuff. Yeah. You know, I'll see whatever they have the city has to offer. My first time around, listen, I used to. You've seen the position I was in New Orleans. I mean,
well, Adam, Divine and I, Chelsea, and
it was Adam's manager, right?
Isaac and Isaac. Somebody else, somebody from Live Nation. We all got into an SUV and went to
was it Jeff? Wills?
A strip club, yeah.
Jeff, we
went to a strip club and then I think.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know what happened after that.
But I was, I loved being on the road. I love going out and fucking meeting girls. And so I was wild, man. That's what I did on the road. I'd go out and drink, bars. Everyone knew who I was when I would go out. And so it was easy to get laid, and I did it.
American dream.
That's what it was. In a way, it is, you know? I mean, weirdly enough, I tell some of my friends the life I've led on the road, and they're like, fuck, that's amazing. So, you know.
Yeah.
But now, my third time, fourth time around in certain cities, I'll go see, you know, whatever.
See the world's largest pecan.
Yeah, you know, some places, you know, like, I've been in Nashville 10 times. Like, Nashville's great. I'm like, God, I barely remember it, you know? I mean, I didn't see anything.
Well, sure, they got that street of bars.
Oh,
you just go into all the honky-tonks.
When I saw you, we went from Nashville to New Orleans. So two of the biggest party cities in the world.
Jesus.
The first night was Nashville. Oh, no, actually, first night was you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'd never done ecstasy ever. I'm not a drug guy at all. I don't do coke or any of it.
So you were on it that night.
I was on ecstasy that night.
And that's why he hugged you for 47 minutes.
No, I was out of my fucking
mind. No, hey, we bonded over getting me on Chelsea again.
And I'm not like a guy who likes to be completely out of control like that.
Yeah.
So, and I was out of like control.
You did? I mean, now that you're saying it, I can speak to the amount of how fast your mouth was moving back and forth.
Yeah, because I had no control anymore.
Yeah, and I didn't know what that was. And since we hadn't... So I hadn't met you and talked to you at shows, so the first thing I thought was, well, his mouth didn't move that fast last time.
No.
So that's got to be something else contributing to the speed in which he is chewing or not chewing, quite honestly.
I blame a comedian named Ian Carmel. Do you guys know Ian Carmel?
Oh, yeah.
He's a hilarious, great.
So funny.
Yeah, a great young guy. I mean, this guy is so funny. It makes me jealous. Anyway,
great voice. Yeah. Just like the package.
He was telling me just before I left to go on that show, that tour with Chelsea, he was like, I don't smoke weed. He goes, sometimes it gives you, like, you find different, you know, outlets for, like, creativity and stuff. Mm-hmm. He goes, sometimes ecstasy does that. And I'm like, really? I never do any. So I said, let me try it. See if I get some sort of different creative outlet. And didn't. I just became a fucking asshole. And, you know,
well, now you don't have to do that again.
Exactly. So I learned.
I love how comics will do that. Like, yes, I will take this illegal mind-altering substance, but it might give me great material.
That's
like,
the thing, you know.
That's literally our goals by the whole thing.
The Beatles wrote, Yellow Submarine on
so
LSD.
Much else.
Oh, I often hear these stories. So I was like, maybe I'll come up with some, you know, brilliant idea. I didn't.
Hootie and the
I got you on the round table. Yeah. I guess that
was your brilliant idea.
Yeah, I did.
Hey,
that's a
resume. Better. And then so for your tour days, people can go to your website.
My website, I got what's the next one? I'm going up to Edmonton. What's that up there in the mall?
Yes.
Comic strip?
Yeah.
Comic strip?
Comic strip in Edmonton with the mall that has the water park in the mall.
The weird, creepy water park in the mall.
I'm not a fan of that.
I know. I feel like they're really being abused.
I just saw a commercial for, it's in Southern California, the first indoor water park they're building called Bear Wolf?
Wolf Lodge. Wolf There's a bunch Lodge. Of those. Yeah.
Shit Wolf.
Shit. I'm sure there's plenty of shit in the wolf.
Dude, it did not
Indoor
look...
pools gross me out.
Come on, indoor water park? Yeah. It was like, and the whole commercial, it was like where neighbors become family. I'm like, and it shows like a guy around a bunch of kids and a couple of their parents. I'm like, yeah, you mean the swingers that had their kids watch a movie in the other room?
Yeah.
And then it's like where dads become parents. It was just like a lot of where this becomes this, where kids make memories and parents, you know, fuck their whatever it was.
Where you get a new STD that hasn't been heard of before.
It's Shit Lodge. What is it? Wolf Shit?
Wolf Lodge?
What is it? Great Wolf Lodge.
All right. Well, now we'd like to thank our brand new sponsor, Great Wolf Lodge.
Well, that being said, we offered up free passes. You know,
Tina Butterfinger loves it. Tina Butterfinger?
No, June and Tina.
Oh, sorry, June Butterfinger.
Where dwarves become 6 feet tall.
Where dwarves become king of the slides.
Yeah. King of the slides.
How are you at the water park?
How am I at the water park? You? Yeah, because I just walk in. I'm like, hey, this is my inner tube, and they're like, well, that kid's got a beard, so he must know what's happening.
First time Chelsea, I opened for Chelsea was many years ago when the first big show we did was at a casino up in Canada, and we were about as hot as Chelsea was going to be at that point, and it was Valentine's Day, and they had an upstairs indoor swimming pool, and they opened it for just Chelsea, myself, and a few other people with us on the tour. Chelsea was like naked and swimming around, and then two people came into the pool. They were like, "Is the pool open?" And we're like, "Yeah." And they must have been like, "Is that fucking Chelsea Handler swimming around naked in the pool?" But yeah, it was a wild.
Or that's just the greatest NyQuil dream ever.
Yeah, right, exactly.
So the second greatest.
Yeah, I've never been a fan of indoor swimming pools, or I've never killed in Canada either. You do well there.
Yeah, Canada's the only place where a heckler actually apologized to me immediately after he heckled me.
Oh my God!
So funny. Like I said some joke, and he's like, "Yeah, I bet that's where your pot of gold is." And then like, before I even said anything, I turned to him like, "All right, I'm gonna rip this fucker apart." And before I even said anything, he goes, "So," in the biggest Canadian accent ever, you're like, "I'm sorry about that, I shouldn't have said that to you. That was not nice. Funny. You're up there trying to do your thing, and yeah. I'm sorry. Proceed."
That's great.
Like, I love this country.
It's fantastic. So I do that, and then I'm St. Louis, so we just talked about Westport, right? Funny Bone, and then Hilarities in Cleveland. Those are my next three.
There you go. Well, pick up your album online.
There it is. Watch. Yeah, Shallow One's fun.
Yeah, come see you live, and try to fuck a porn star that you've also fucked, and then you could be your Eskimo brother, my Eskimo brother.
Why do they call it Eskimo brother?
I don't know, because apparently Eskimos got really freaky.
Really? Okay, good to know. I never heard that term.
Eskimos Got Really Freaky is the name of Hoorah Shimmy's debut album.
I have enjoyed this I've learned two things here on this podcast. Learned Eskimo. I never knew that term before.
Okay.
And I've learned about the NyQuil dreams. So these both things I didn't know about.
Well, see? I mean, and one can lead to the other.
Good night, everybody.
Perfect ending.
Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamay Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.